The cycle of the Jewish year plays a sort of trick on us. Because on Yom Kippur, as you know, we have a service called Yizkor in which we memorialize our losses. And we feel the transience of everything, how things in this world are ephemeral, they pass away. We look around each year on Yom Kippur and there are people who are no longer there, whom we remember from the year before. And then when Yom Kippur is over, we are prepared to return to our lives and to reestablish the illusion that in fact everything stays. And then the next holiday in the Jewish calendar is Sukkot. And Sukkot is a holiday in which you are supposed to build a temporary structure. If it's too sturdy, it's not a sukkah. You can't turn your house into a sukkah, it's too sturdy. And so as soon as you've gotten over mourning for your losses, the tradition comes along and says, by the way, I just want you to know, more losses are on the way. Nothing lasts. And that lesson recurs in our lives with alarming frequency, but it is always somehow a surprise. We know that nature can exact a terrible price. But when it does, we're surprised. I'm not going to take a poll, but I wonder how many people in this congregation who live in Los Angeles are actually prepared for an earthquake. Do you have supplies in your home, in your cars? And if you don't, if, God forbid, it happens in our lifetime, what will you answer to the person who says, but you knew you lived in Los Angeles? You'll answer, well, I didn't pay attention to sukkahs. Okay, maybe you won't, but it's an option. And those of us who have sat by the television or on the computer for the past several days and watched the devastation have to remember the vivid images of lives upended and dreams shattered and homes and hearts swept away. And know that those who survived it have the far harder task of clinging to what does endure, to memory, to hope, to faith, and to God. And it is our task to help that happen, to ensure that in a world where everything tangible is ephemeral, where everything you can see and touch and feel is only here for an instant, that people who have had everything taken away can reestablish or renew their faith in what does endure. And that means first of all, that we give what we can. That we understand that sitting in this room at this moment are some of the luckiest human beings not only in the world, but in the history of the world. And that while nobody should feel guilty for being lucky, everyone should be responsible for those who are not. And in order to really understand that, and in order to carry out the mandate of our good fortune, what we have to do is understand what the Torah teaches us this morning. It is a remarkable confluence of events and of teachings, the Torah says explicitly this morning, don't close your heart or shut your hand against those who are needy. And the truth is that at first glance, half of that statement is superfluous. After all, what you really need is an open hand. We've all heard how essential it is to give. So why do we care about your hearts? Why does the Torah begin with a heart and only then move to a hand? After all, it is possible, as we all know, to give grudgingly, to have money extracted from us, sort of in the manner of a dental extraction, where it's painful but necessary and you reluctantly go along with it. But the idea here, and what the Torah is seeking to inculcate, to teach us, to train us in, is the central role of empathy in human life. Not giving out of sympathy. Not, oh, look at those poor, pitiful people, I will give them something. But out of empathy. There is a subtle war going on against the idea of empathy in our society. All you have to do is fill in the end of this sentence. You have no idea what it feels like to be a blank. It can be someone of a different ethnicity, someone of a different class, someone of a different country, someone of a different life experience. We're always told we don't know. And on one level, that's true. I don't know what it's like to grow up in the Ukraine or in Chile or in Nigeria or in another American city. I don't know what it's like to be hungry and to know that there is no place to go for food. I don't know what it's like to be transplanted in the middle of your life to another country with another language and another culture and know that you can never go back home. But I'm a human being. And so is everyone else to whom those experiences happened. I know deep in my soul, as all of you do, that living in Los Angeles in the 21st century, that most of our grievances are petty, most of our complaints are unworthy, most of what we worry about is trivial and even foolish. But I also know that that could change tomorrow. I also know, as a rabbi, that I see people who are fine one day and whose hearts are broken the next. And I know that it is in us to feel, in some measure, what it is like to have the waters of the flood wash your world away. I know that if we take a moment and close our eyes, we know what it feels like to be in a shelter and not know where your children are. That we know what it is like to realize that even if everybody you care for makes it through this experience, you will never return home. Not the way it was before the heavens opened and destroyed your world. I know that it is in us not just to understand that, but to feel it. And the reason the Torah wants our hearts to be open is, yes, we will give today and tomorrow. But if only your hand is open and your heart is closed, soon the rigor mortis of selfishness sets in and your hand hardens up again. Soon we'll forget. How many of us Before this happened along the Gulf Coast, how many of us were still thinking every day about the tsunami? You know that victims still suffer. We realize that things will never be the same for hundreds of thousands of people. But hands close awfully fast when hearts aren't opened. Ki geirim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt, says the Torah, you have to be kind to strangers. Now, nobody sitting here was a stranger in the land of Egypt. But the idea, what the Bible is teaching, is that you are capable of feeling what it is to be a stranger. It's in your historical DNA. Your ancestors experienced it, and so can you. This is a moment to teach what it means, not just for ourselves, but for our children. To have them understand how lucky they are, how tenuous that luck is, what a thin strand it depends upon, how precarious is our good fortune. Which does not mean that it will be taken away tomorrow, but it means that the distance between ourselves and those who suffer is in inches, not in miles. That even though we have a natural human tendency to look at someone in pain and say, "Not me," even though, as a philosopher once wrote, there are two nations in the world, the sick and the well. Even though that is true, it has to be resisted. And that can only be done with an open heart. In Pirkei Avot, we read as follows. Tzu uru ezehu derech tova sheyidbak ba adam. What way should a human being follow? What is the right way? And here's the answers that the rabbis gave. Rabbi Eliezer answered his teacher and said, "A generous eye. You should look at everybody favorably." Rabbi Yoshua said, "You should be a good colleague. A collegial," or as they used to say, a clubbable person. Rabbi Yossi said, "A good neighbor, shachein tov." You should be nice to the people around you. Rabbi Shimon said, "Haro'eh tanolad." You should be somebody who foresees the consequences of your own actions. And Rabbi Elazar said, "Lev tov." You need a generous heart. At which point, their teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said, "I prefer the view of Rabbi Eliezer, a good heart, because his view encompasses all the rest of yours." This is a time to train our hearts, both in what we've seen and in what we have not seen. No one will know. This is secret goodness. Nobody else will know how much you gave or what you feel. This happens only inside the interactions of an individual soul. But if your heart is closed, the world will suffer, and so will you. Because if you move through this world with a closed heart, you won't feel pain, you won't feel empathy, you won't feel intimacy, and you won't feel love. An open heart and an open hand. It is urgent at this moment. I hope that as you walk outside and you see these sheets where you can give, that you will remember, as the Latin proverb has it, change the names and the story is about you. Tomorrow it could be. And the best way to ensure both the decency and the safety of the human community is when we are the lucky ones to give a model of what it means to have open hands and open hearts. Shabbat Shalom.